Hey, super fans and comic book lovers everywhere. This is Diane Sherry Case, Lana Lang from Superman the Movie, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Greetings and super salutations to all of you out there in podcast listening land. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, continuing my 40th anniversary celebration of my favorite comic book movie of all time, 1978's Superman the Movie. All year long, I will be continuing to bring you guests from the world of the movie and the super sequels that it brought about. A lot of great guests coming up today. Man, one of those great guests is here today in the lair. We are headed to Smallville with Clark Kent's first crush, Lana Lang herself. In the movie, the character of Lana was wonderfully brought to life by the talented actress Diane Sherry Case. Diane is going to be along in just a few moments. We are going to have some fun celebrating 40 years of Superman the movie, 80 years of Superman 2, a lot of super anniversaries. We're going to have some fun talking with Diane today. Before we get to that conversation, a few reminders. First, I am planning to attend the Superman celebration in Metropolis, Illinois this summer. It's June 7th through the 10th. I will be recording interviews for the show while I'm there. A lot of folks are going to be there. It has been a few years since I last attended the celebration. So with all the anniversaries going on, 80 years of Superman, 40 years of the movie, 30 years of the Superboy television series, 25 Lois and Clark, a lot of super anniversaries going on, so it seemed like the perfect time to get back to Metropolis. There's a lot going on there. Their guest list is shaping up quite nicely. So if you want to attend as well, all the information can be found at the website supermancelebration.net. I will also put that link up in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net, as well as the show notes for this episode on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. So Superman celebration going on. I'm going to put the links to everything in the show notes so you can check it out there. Several of the guests they've already announced for the show, they have appeared right here on Comic Book Central. So if you want to check out some in-depth interviews with some of their guests before you meet them in person, you're going to want to check out a few of these episodes on Comic Book Central. Executive producer Ilya Salkind and Kryptonian villain Non, Jack O'Halloran, they are going to be in Metropolis. They were my guests on episode 3 and 4, going back to the beginning of the show. So they were here from early on. Jeff East, young Clark Kent, my guest on episode 62. He is going to be there as well. John Newton, you just heard from John not too long ago here on Comic Book Central. I celebrated 30 years of the TV show Superboy with him on episode 208. And also Toddler Kal-El, Aaron Smolinski. Now, Aaron was not only in the movie, the original movie, but he was in Superman 3. And he had a cameo in Man of Steel as well. So hoping to welcome Aaron to Comic Book Central soon. Working out details there. But those are the guests that are announced so far for Superman Celebration. Again, June 7th through 10th, Metropolis, Illinois. Check out the site. Check out the guests. Check out all the information there. And hope to see you there. Also, if you are a fan of Superman the movie, you're going to want to go back and check out some other super chats I've had. The director of the legendary film and legendary director, Richard Donner. He was here, episode 159. Sarah Douglas, episode 105. And of course, Making of Superman author David M. Petro, episode 207. So a lot of Superman guests have been here already. You can check out the show, comicbookcentral.net, blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Be sure to follow it on social media, Facebook and Twitter. And then after today's show, if you haven't heard any of those episodes yet, be sure to go back. You can subscribe to the show, get them that way. Make sure you do not miss a moment of the Superman fun that we've had or that's headed your way all year long right here in Comic Book Central. That is what's on tap for today. Take a listen to this. Then I will be right back to celebrate 40 years of Superman the movie with Diane Sherry Case. Diane's TV acting career began when she was 12 years old with appearances on The Bill Dana Show and Make Room for Daddy. By the end of that year, she was portraying Bing Crosby's daughter on The Bing Crosby Show. And throughout the late 60s and 70s, Diane could be seen in guest spots on shows like Room 222 and crime dramas such as The FBI, Kojak, and Adam 12. And she could be seen on the big screen in feature films Pretty Maids All in a Row with Rock Hudson and Angie Dickinson and Hawaii with Julie Andrews. But the big screen did not get any bigger than 1978's Superman the movie, where Diane was cast as Clark Kent's first love, Smallville High cheerleader Lana Lang.
Lana, don't bother with these, huh? I'll take them in with the other equipment.
Thank you, Clark.
Sure.
Listen, a whole bunch of us are going up to Mary Ellen's, play some records. Would you like to come?
Sure. Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Now, of course, Clark went on to fall in love with the other double L, Lois Lane, while battling another double L, Lex Luthor. And Diane went on to another aspect of her career, writing. She's the author of several books, and she recently developed the online TV series House Poor. Well, my guest today is an extremely talented actress, director, and author. She just released her latest book, Write for Recovery, Exercises for Heart, Mind, and Spirit. And today, she is here to help us celebrate the 40th anniversary of her appearance as Lana Lang in Superman the movie. Time to welcome in Diane Sherry Case. Diane, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Good to have you here. Happy 40th anniversary. We're here. I'm celebrating all year long, but this has got to be pretty cool for you, right? You're part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
Thanks for celebrating with us today. Look, we're going to be talking about Superman. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today. I know you've made appearances over the years at comic book conventions. I don't know how many you do, but I think this year's probably going to be amped up a little bit. Anything that we need to know right now that's going on that you're going to be appearing, or are those things in the works as we speak?
Oh, those are in the works. I'm actually busy promoting my book and doing workshops and stuff.
Okay. So, and that's Write for Recovery.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're going to be talking about that. Yeah, I definitely want to talk a little bit about that. First of all, how can we find it? Let's make sure we get that out. The website,
it's on
Amazon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
And my website's writeforrecovery.com, and I do workshops online.
Okay. And we'll get into this. You're going to teach me all about therapeutic writing, right?
Okay.
I don't know if my writing is therapeutic at all. Mine's pretty stressful. Maybe you can help me out later. We'll talk a little bit about that. But as you're going through this year, you more than likely you'll be appearing at a few conventions, we can assume?
I think so. I don't do very many of them.
Okay.
I just did the anniversary at the Chinese Theater, which was fun.
Okay. Did they show the film?
And we did a panel there. And I was in Kansas City a few months ago, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they showed the film on a big screen, and it was really nice.
Well, that seems appropriate, being in Kansas City. That's where you kind of pretended you were. You were in Calgary, but you were pretending
exactly.
You were in Kansas. So they showed the film. So is that the first time you'd seen it in a long time, or do you catch it every now and again?
Well, I caught it a few years back. A short film, was in a film festival in Connecticut that was honoring Dick Donner. So he was there, and they showed the film on a big screen, and that was spectacular. They had a really good print, and it was a really big screen. I don't know.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But it was really fun to see it after not seeing it for so many years.
I know we watch it all the time. Me and my listeners, we watch it all the time. So we probably memorized every little bit of this. So we appreciate when you and your castmates go back a little bit. Hopefully we'll see you with Jeff East somewhere. We know he's always popping up at these things, friend of the show. So we'll
sure.
See. But let's go back a little bit further than 40 years, if you don't mind. Growing up in the South, I think, you grew up in the South and then you grew up on the West Coast, right? A little bit of both?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Now I spent 8 years in Memphis. You weren't too far from there, right? You were in Missouri?
That's where I spent time with my grandma, yeah.
Oh, okay. So how old were you when you left the South? Because you went from there to California, right, your family?
Yeah, I actually went from Oklahoma to California, and I was 7 or 8.
Okay. So do you remember growing up in the South much?
I remember visiting my grandma. I went there every summer, even until I was, in my teens. I always went there every summer, actually, even when I was a grown-up.
Oh, okay. But so you spent a lot of time in the South.
I would spend a few weeks there.
Okay.
And I loved it. We went fishing and killed snakes.
You killed snakes?
All sorts of things.
What do you mean you killed snakes?
Oh, my grandma would find snakes that were poisonous, and she'd hit them with a hoe and,
oh, man.
And then show them off on a stick, and I'd take pictures.
Grandma was hardcore Southerner, that's for sure.
She was. She was a farmer.
I'm a northerner, but I did spend 8 years in Memphis. So I have a little bit of the southern experience. What was yours like? Did you, because that's such a radical difference between that and LA.
Oh, I loved visiting grandma. That was, I loved the chickens and pigs and cows. And she had an old house with a trunk in it that had stuff from my great-great-grandmother. And I have my great-grandmother's or great-great-grandmother's long braids that I found in the trunk.
What do you mean, like her actual, like her hair?
Yes.
They kept that stuff? Are you kidding me?
Yes, isn't that like a weird tale?
Wow, I guess, but I mean, it's a definite connection to your past. Are you very nostalgic?
I am. I love old pictures, and yes, I am somewhat.
Okay, so that, I mean, did you get to keep anything else from the trunk? Were there like old family, like heirlooms? Were there pictures?
I don't think I got anything else from the trunk, but I wrote the first short story I ever wrote was about that old house in the trunk. They had an old house that had been moved that they were used for storage. They used it for storage, but my grandmother had been born in it, and my father was born in it, and they used it for hay for the animals. And
multi-purpose.
Wow. It had this trunk in it, so wow. It was very mysterious.
You don't
so
have
that
the trunk,
was my
do
first
you?
Short story. What?
You don't have the actual trunk still, do you?
No, I don't have the trunk.
Well, do you know where it ended up?
No, I don't know where the trunk ended up. I'm afraid in the trash, probably.
Oh, okay. That would be so
cool.
It
was pretty ratty, old trunk.
Yeah, but that would be so cool. I'm nostalgic myself, so when I see these things, it kind of hits me in the sweet spot. Now, okay, so you kind of got into a little bit what I wanted to delve into, because we know you were a child actor, but was the writing, was that first, the interest, was that there first with the writing?
I always wrote in journals. I did that from when I was a real small child. I have like the locked diaries from when I was a kid.
Oh, you have those. Oh wow. So you don't have to remember anything. You can just go back and see what you wrote that day.
I have a lot written down, too much.
What surprised you? Well, first of all, when was the last time you looked at any of those diaries, and what surprised you the most that you were able to call back to mind?
One thing that was always interesting to me is that at some point after Superman, I moved to New York City to do theater with this really smart director who, he taught at Yale, and he introduced things like doing Shakespeare with a woman as King Lear instead of a man. And he did Shakespeare in the Park with like the Tempest he did using in modern times using a helicopter and, he just did all these wild theater things, and he was so interesting to work with. And my journals became much more interesting than they were when I was working in TV.
Okay. So you went from Tales of Bing Crosby to doing Shakespeare with helicopters.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
That would be so cool if you could like publish those at some point. That would be very cool. Okay, so the interest in writing was there, but you became a child actor. So how did that transition take place? Because you're in the West Coast. Well, let me back up one second. What brought your family to the West Coast? Work?
I think my mama wanted to be a movie star.
Really?
Yeah.
Stage
and
mom?
My dad. Actually, we moved here because my dad got a job with. He was a lawyer and an accountant, and he got a job with a big firm. So we moved out here for that.
Okay, so but there was definitely an interest on your mom's side. Was she a stage mom?
No, she wasn't, actually. She kind of dropped the ball on my career when it was really at its peak. Hmm. So she wasn't that into being a stage mom.
Okay.
I wanted to do it, and she supported that for a while, which was great.
How did that come about? Like, do you remember, how do you go from, okay, we're moving out, dad's working over here. Did she see about an audition?
I really wanted to do it. The story is I begged to do it. I had played, I remember my first play, I was Sleepy in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay, so you did a school play and got hooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of Sleepy were you? Were you a method Sleepy?
I don't know, but he had a beard and it was really scratchy. And I remember that really viscerally.
But you couldn't scratch it because you were sleepy.
I was yawning all the time.
You had to be. Okay, so how? Okay, so what were some of the early things then, and how did you get the part on the Bing Crosby show? Because that's pretty huge.
I think Bing was surprised that I didn't know who he was.
And that was my question. I was going to ask if you knew who he was or not.
I had no idea. I was into the Beatles.
Okay. And you're hitting so many questions here. I'm kind of all over the map, but I know you met the Beatles at one point. Was this pre-Bing?
No, Bing got me the invitation to meet the Beatles.
That was how you met the Beatles. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you saw Bing as a channel to the Beatles.
Yeah, he was great. He came in to work with a Beatle wig one day, and he had my dressing room plastered with Beatle pictures. He was just—he was sweet to me.
Okay, so almost like a dad in real life, in the fact that he knew you had an interest in the Beatles and was like, "Oh, I'm going to do something nice for my TV daughter."
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I was going to ask you what kind of guy was. We hear all, you know, there's about 1.5 billion stories about Bing Crosby, but I was kind of curious about your experience. But he was almost like a kind of an on-set dad.
Yeah, he was great to me.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Because I kind of see, it's a very, by the way, I think IMDb and Wikipedia have your character name wrong. You were Janice Collins, right?
Yes.
Okay, they have you listed as Joyce on all these things. That was your sister,
oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah. It's all
was
incorrect.
My sister.
Okay, you were like the little math nerd, right, on the Bing Crosby show?
Yeah, I was supposed to be a little genius.
Yeah. Were you at all? Were you good at math?
Well, no, and I had to learn all these huge words part of her character, and also one episode I had to learn how to play green sleeves, how to fake it on like 7 different instruments, which wasn't that easy.
There's one episode I recall, I don't know if I'm trying to remember the same one or not, but you and the great David Wayne, our Mad Hatter from Batman, he was the Mad Hatter on the Batman TV series. Do you recall this episode with you and David Wayne where you're like trying to convince Bing that computers can make music?
Kind of. Okay. I remember a big computer room and the whole
huge.
The computer was the whole room.
Yeah, there was a whole set.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This show was so far ahead of its time because it's like, can you imagine if Bing Crosby could see computers composing music now? It's very...
Really?
Yeah. Okay, one thing I noticed about the credits for the Bing Crosby show... at the very end when the credits are rolling, casting by Lynn Stallmaster, the great Lynn Stallmaster.
And he cast Superman.
Yeah, he did. He cast Superman well, too. Was that a connection there, or was that just happenstance?
Yeah, no, that was he knew me, and that's how I got cast in it. Okay. I didn't even really interview with Donner. They just sent him pictures and, I guess, tape on me, or film in those days.
Because you had a few things under your belt by that point.
Uh-huh.
Was it you worked with Debbie Reynolds? Was it Debbie Reynolds?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Julie Andrews.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of Julie Andrews.
Yeah. Okay, so you had
I was her sister in a movie.
Okay, so Lynn was the one that brought you in?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, when did you first meet Donner?
In Canada.
Wow, on set.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, So did Lynn approach you? Like, how did that – just take us through the audition process. How did that work out? Because this is huge. This is like the biggest movie ever.
I know. And the weird thing of it is I don't really remember. I think they just sent my picture and told me I was going to Canada.
You didn't write it in your journal?
I may have, but I haven't.
You've got to go back and look for this. This is what we got to find out.
I was doing a lot of commercials in those days. I had just done 2 Super Bowl commercials. And
I saw that. Which ones were they? I saw you did 2 of them, but I'm trying to recall which ones they were. Do you recall?
One of them was Datsun, which doesn't exist anymore, and one of them was a Toyota.
Oh, a couple of car commercials. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, you got to go back and get your journal to find this out, because I'm sure there's some great stories. I can almost...
Yeah, they're missing years in my journal collection.
Well, I'm guessing Jeff East may have propped up.
Years that I have left.
I'm guessing I'm guessing Jeff East probably popped up a few times in those journals.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm curious because, look, I had a chance to talk to Jeff East. He mentioned that you guys had an interesting time in Canada.
Yes, we did have fun.
Okay. Did your boyfriend try to kill Jeff East?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, come on. Okay, so he had mentioned
that you think my boyfriend was very happy. See, I was originally going up there for like 4 days or something,
right.
And or a week or a very short time. It was only a couple of days' work.
Right.
And I was up there, I think, for a whole month because Donner was waiting for the right light for the scene in the football field. And there was bad weather or not good light or there was rain and stuff.
It rained the entire,
so we
almost
were just
the entire
on hold
time.
For,
yeah,
we were on hold for a long time and we were up there and they wouldn't let me go back to do other jobs and I was just up there.
Okay, because Brad.
So we all got a little stir crazy.
Brad Flock played your boyfriend, Brad Wilson, in the film. I saw an interview with him where he talked about it was only supposed to be, like you said, a few days, and it turned into almost a month because the weather was just atrocious up there. But Jeff mentioned that you guys are like scouring Canada looking for cigarettes and stuff. Any of this ringing a bell?
Yeah, it's not vivid in my memory, frankly.
Okay. Poor Jeff Feast. It's vivid in his. I think he was crushing hard for Diane Cherry Case at the time, or Diane Cherry at the time. Yeah. Okay. So you've given up the Marlboros, though, right? We're staying healthy these days.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not smoking.
Okay. He said you guys were on this eternal quest for Marlboros up in Canada. We're going to have to find those journals. We're going to have to dig deep to find these. What was your experience like? We know the weather was atrocious, but when you get up there, it's the look of this film is so amazing to me. I mean, it's so set in the period at the time. You had the cars. You had the outfits. Everything was just spot on perfect.
Wasn't that a beautiful car?
Oh, well, was it? I mean, because we know Hollywood's always fakey
fake.
It was pretty cool?
Yeah, it was very cool.
Okay. You had no background with Superman at all? The cartoons, the TV show, the comics, nothing?
No, and I'm really glad I didn't because I think that the role, I might have put something on top of it that didn't need to be there. I think it was pure without it. Just being a high school cheerleader.
Okay,
you know?
So that's curious because I've talked to a lot of actors who say, you know, especially actresses who say, well, I never read comic books. My brother did, but I didn't read comic books or something. And so sometimes they'll say that helped them because they are, you know, Lana's supposed to be naive. She's supposed to be a kid. She's supposed to be a young, you know, she's supposed to be a cheerleader in high school. So do you think that would have, if you had realized the enormity of it?
I might have pretended to be a cartoon character, and that wouldn't have been as pure.
Well, true, because the only reference point up to that point was maybe the TV series with George Reeves or the Batman TV series, which was really over the top. So,
I used to watch Batman.
You did watch that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you did see the Mad Hatter. You did see your former castmate, the Mad Hatter in Batman. What was Donner like when you? Okay, so you met him on the set. Did you know anything about him? Walk us through this experience, because this had to be the biggest thing for you up to that point as a young actress.
I didn't see it as that, but yeah, I guess it was. I was, it was a big picture. Donner was a lot of fun on the set. He's obviously really talented, and we took a trip once down to, with the special effects guy down to Montana, I think. I don't know what else I would say about him.
He's so larger than life, but everyone I've talked to said he's the favorite director they've ever worked with. What was his demeanor on set? Because, I mean, you know, you've worked with a bunch of directors, and you're a director yourself. There's the sort of bombastic yelling director. There's the meticulous director. There's the I'm your buddy director. Where would you put Donner sort of on the spectrum of directors you've worked with?
I think he was the I'm your buddy director.
Was he letting people discover things on set?
Well, I had a problem because my close-up in the movie, the sun was going down and I only got one take. And I wanted to do another take and the sun wasn't right, so I didn't get to.
Is this the we're going up to Mary Ellen's to play some records?
Yes.
But it's perfect.
Well, good. Thank God.
Well, Donner must have known what he was doing.
I only got one crack at it.
But see, isn't that amazing, though? 40 years later, you're still thinking about, boy, I would just like another crack at this. And the rest of the planet is going, that's a perfect scene. That's amazing. It's kind of fun watching even the deleted scenes, because there's a little bit more Lana Lang in some of the deleted scenes. I love watching your reactions to Brad, not only in the scene that's actually in the film proper, but in the car where you guys are driving around. What direction did you get from Donner? Because you're not supposed to be with Brad. There's no way you're supposed to be with Clark.
He may have told me to look over at him. I'm not sure.
Because there's this look of contempt constantly through. You just wish you were somewhere else. I'm just curious.
Exactly.
Was that kind of the direction that he gave to you?
Yeah, think that I wanted to be back with Clark.
Now, I know when you guys were filming up there, they're also shooting all the Lex Luthor scenes and Miss Teschmacher. I know your scenes are with Jeff East, and it's little moments in the film, but did you get a chance to meet any of the other actors, like Gene Hackman, Valerie Perrin, any of the others? Like, could you tell us your experience working or even just meeting up with some of these legends in the biz?
Well, I had been, since I had been around stars since I was really young, it didn't faze me much. I just remember that the lunches were like 100 and some odd people. The cast was so huge and crew that it was a lot of people in the thing. I was fascinated by the rodeo drivers that were the rodeo guys that were our drivers. It was off season from the rodeo, so we had cowboys that drove our trailers. But so I was meeting all sorts of people.
Do you recall the first time you saw the film?
I do. I remember being afraid to see my close-up because I had only had one take.
You have fixated on this for 40. Wait a minute. I think I need to do a little therapeutic healing here for you. It's okay. Let it go.
Okay.
Your close-up was fine. Donner knows what he was doing, and you look amazing in the film.
A little closure there.
There you go. 40 years later, I've finally given Diane Cherry some closure for Superman. Okay, so the first time you saw the film, where was it?
It was, I guess it was the premiere.
Oh, in D.C.?
No, I didn't go to the premiere in D.C.
Okay.
I guess it was the premiere here. I can't remember if
it could have been.
I'm trying to remember
because I know they were doing something with Special Olympics too in DC. So okay, so you're in LA seeing it with like Christopher Reeve. You hadn't met Christopher Reeve on the set though, right?
No, I met him at a party at Donner's.
Okay, so this is the first time you actually meet Superman.
Yes, I don't know if it was after the filming or before. I mean, before the film came out or after.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. Like, had you seen him as Christopher Reeve or had you seen him as Superman first?
No, I think I saw him as Christopher Reeve first.
What was he like?
Oh, he was just a really nice guy, and his wife was really sweet, too. They were a very elegant couple. He was a hero. He was the best Superman.
Yeah. That's what we always want to hear. We want to hear our heroes are the people we thought they were. When you first saw the film, I can describe what a 10-year-old boy knows when he first sees a man can fly. When you first saw the film, and you were behind the scenes, you know how Hollywood works. But when you first saw the film, what was your first thought? The credits roll, the John Williams music, and then what are you thinking?
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. It was a big movie.
Did you know how big it was going to be?
No. I was pretty impressed that Marlon Brando was in it. That was impressive to me.
That's a good credit on the page.
And when I got cast in it. But no, I didn't know how. I knew it was a big movie, but...
Did it all sink in at that time when at the premiere? Did it all start to sink in of, oh, wow, this is a lot bigger than I thought it was?
You know, it's only in the last few years that that's really sunk in.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How so?
Since I've been doing the autograph things and the conventions and stuff, I just didn't realize there were still so many fans and everything. And seeing it on the big screen when I went to that thing that was honoring Donner, that made me realize what a classic it was.
Did you see it with new eyes?
Yeah, I was really impressed by all the special effects, and it was just it's a spectacular movie.
Had they talked to you at all? Because I know Lana returns in part 3. She's Annette O'Toole. Had they talked to you at all about returning, or that wasn't even a thought at the time?
You know, I don't know. I had gone to New York to do theater, to do underground theater, and I don't know if they could have even gotten in touch with me if they'd wanted, but I'm not sure if they tried or not.
Oh, you were off the radar at the time.
I was off the, off the grid.
Did you ever see Superman 3?
Before there was a grid to be on.
That's true. There was no grid. It was it was like a landline, you know, calling
a landline. Exactly. And I didn't, I don't think I had my number. I don't think I changed my number with SAG. I just went off to do this.
Okay. So even if they had called you, you wouldn't have been home to call.
Exactly.
You were doing Shakespeare with helicopters. Superman was working with helicopters, and so were you. Did you see Superman 3?
No, I didn't.
Never to this day?
No.
Any interest in seeing?
But Onetta was in my acting class when I was young.
Okay.
I knew her from acting class.
Okay. But you've never seen her, like, as your character?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever met her? Well, you met her in the acting class, but have you met up with her since then?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, but you have met some other Lanas, like you've met Stacy Hajduk from...
Stacy, yes.
Okay.
Stacy and I did Superman Celebration together, I think.
Okay, so the meeting of the Lanas. Have you met any other Lanas in the, like, Smallville Lana? Have you met anyone else?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's what we need to get accomplished, right? A meeting of all the Lanas together. Annette O'Toole, Kristen Crook, Diane Sherry Kay, Stacy Hajduk. We need to get all the Lanas together, right?
Oh, that would be funny.
That would be funny. Okay, so you went to New York. You were doing some theater. When did the writing sort of come back into your life as more of a focus of the career?
I think when I wrote that story about the trunk, I started writing short stories, when I had, right before I had children, before I got married. And then I quit acting a while when I had kids and started focusing mostly on writing and then at some point on filmmaking.
The current book is Write for Recovery. What's your best advice for overcoming writer's block?
Write as fast as you can. Don't think. Try to get on the other side of your intellect so you write faster than you can think. Don't bother with punctuation or spelling or anything like that in your first draft, or if you're journaling, or even making complete sentences. Just let it all come out.
Edit later?
Yeah, and then sometimes you surprise yourself with what you write. You don't realize you're going to write something and it comes from someplace else.
Yeah, someplace else. That's what surprised me. I think your first someplace else was a circus. That
yes,
can't be right, can it? Is my research right?
That my first novel was about a circus?
Uh-huh. No, it was about a circus, but it was about your time, inspired by your time in a circus, right?
Yes.
As a strongman's assistant?
Yes.
That can't be right. That's fake, right?
No, that's for real.
That's for real? That's not fake news?
The novel's just like...
How did you get into a circus? That sounds like a Hollywood thing. That sounds like a TV show. How do you get into a circus?
I left after Pretty Maids All in a Row. I left and went down to Mexico for a weekend once and loved it so much that I stayed. And I got a job with a veterinarian. And we went to the circus once because some animal was giving birth. And I met the people at the circus, and they offered me a job, and I thought it was a kick. It was a little traveling Mexican circus.
This is mind-blowing to me. And that became your first novel?
I took parts of it.
Yeah,
it's very loosely autobiographical. Like there's a boyfriend in it that didn't exist.
Okay, it wasn't Jeff East.
No.
I think you know more than you tell us about Jeff East. Diane, you have led a very interesting life. Trek through the Himalayas for your second book?
Yes, but I didn't actually go there. That was based on research.
Oh, okay. But, so you didn't go, you weren't in the Himalayas.
No, I heard about that trek from a monk that I did know a monk, and there's a monk in the book, and he did take people on this trek, and it was treacherous, and I was going to go on it, but then I heard the details of it about how somebody broke their arm and had to hike for 5 days before they could get medical care, and how they were on, you know, 6-inch paths and stuff, and I decided not to take it.
Okay, so your life isn't as crazy as I thought it was.
Well, as I got older, I got a little saner.
Yeah.
I was a little riskier and a little more flamboyant when I was young.
Okay, we mentioned this earlier. What is therapeutic writing? And can you help my writing to be therapeutic? Because mine's pretty stressful.
Well, you'll have to get my book and do some of the exercises.
Well, send it to me for I just promoted it. You can send it to me for free, right?
I sure will.
Okay, all right. So just give me a hint. Give me a starting
point.
Well,
I'll tell you how I did it.
Okay.
I took creative writing exercises. I have a degree in creative writing and then a master's in psychology, and I took the creative writing exercises and I just geared them towards healing. So they're exercises that are like writing prompts, but they have some little seed of something that's going to help you, as opposed to just creating a story.
When I'm staring at a blank page, help me to be therapeutic.
Pretend you could give somebody you resent, say, or you could do it for yourself. You can give this person anything you want from it. It would have different purposes. One, if you gave it to somebody you resent, it would be a healing exercise. If not, it's like an exercise in self-love. You can give, say, yourself anything from nature that you want, a sunset or a flower or anything. So pick anything from nature and write about what you've chosen, why you chose that thing, and how it feels to receive that gift. It can be a lightning bolt or a summer rain or a flower.
Superman, the movie on Blu-ray? I think you've helped me become therapeutic. Well, there's plastic involved. That's from nature, I think. I think you may have helped me become therapeutic in my writing. I think I'm going to write about Superman Blu-ray. You once said that you always learn something when you write. What was the most surprising thing you've learned from your writing?
Gee, I've made most of my decisions I've made since for years writing. What happens is when I journal, I find out I get the stuff that's running through my mind off my mind and on the paper, and then I can get behind my mind to see what's next. So it's kind of like excavating.
So you still journal today?
Yes, I do.
Oh, wow. So that might be one of the biggest helps you've said is that, so if you're writing, just jot down everything.
Yes. And
you never know what gold you might strike.
I have all sorts of little exercises, and that was just one little exercise. It didn't, it's hard to explain it. But I have all sorts of suggestions like gratitude lists to do daily. Sometimes you can try journaling in the third person, as if you were talking about somebody else. That's kind of interesting and shakes it up.
Oh, like watching your life from afar and just commenting on your own life. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing a deep dive on this. Okay, we're going to have to get this book. Write for Recovery, correct?
Yes.
We're going to have to get this. Have you ever thought about writing for a comic book or a superhero TV show?
I never have.
Are you thinking about it as we speak?
No, but I have been drawing that stuff that may get animated someday.
Oh, okay. Well, if you could, because everything's a superhero show now. Everything's a superhero show, and you still got your toe in the water of Hollywood. If you could write for a show or a comic book, is there a character that you would like to write for?
Probably Lana Lang.
There you go. I kind of suspected we might go into there. A little Lana Lang miniseries, right?
Yeah, I think I could do a good job.
Or a fictional novel, like a fictional novel where she meets up with a young Clark Kent, a young Jeff East in Calgary.
Yes.
Gotta find those journals. The websites, it's writeforrecovery.com.
Yeah, and follow me on Instagram to see my drawings, Diane Sherry Case.
Diane Sherry Case on Instagram, Diane Sherry Case page on Facebook, right?
Yes.
At Diane Sherry Case on Twitter, miraculousproductions.com. You're all over the interwebs.
I am. I'm real Googleable.
You are Googleable. I'll tell you what, when it's the 80th anniversary of Superman, it's the 40th anniversary of the movie. I got to ask, kind of looking back on this, and you're probably getting a little bit different perspective now that you're meeting a lot of the fans and kind of getting these one-on-ones. What is it about this character of Superman, 80 years in, we're still talking about him, he's as popular as ever, and the performance of Christopher Reeve 40 years later that, as Jack O'Halloran had mentioned, they haven't touched him yet?
No, and they won't. He showed himself to be a superhero when he got injured. He just handled it so well. He was just had an inner strength and an inner grace that was beautiful, and an honesty and purity. He was just a good soul, and it came across, and a smart man. And he just was the perfect Superman. It just happened that way. It was wise casting. I think they knew immediately when they saw him, didn't they?
Yeah, Lynn Stallmaster did, and he's the one that cast you, so that says a lot. That says a lot.
Yeah.
Lynn kept putting it on top of the stack. I mean, you know, Christopher Reeve was a skinny string bean at the time, but they knew there was Superman in there.
Wow.
Yeah, they knew Superman was in there, and they knew Lana Lang was in you.
Well, Lynn had been casting for a long time.
Yeah.
He cast me at 12, and then again at 12 years later.
He was the perfect casting director. It's the perfect film, and you're a part of it. Diane, once again, I want to say happy 40th anniversary. This film means so much to so many of us. I'm glad you could celebrate this year along with us, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much.
Continued success in your writing. Thank you for the tips. We appreciate that, and thank you for joining me today on Comic Book Central.
Okay, great.
Diane can track down those journals from her time on Superman the movie, right? That would be awesome to check those out. I bet the folks at Warner Brothers would love the idea of publishing those to tie in with the 40th anniversary of the movie. That would be really cool. Can you imagine it? Confessions of Lana Lang, My Personal Diary on the Set of Superman the Movie by Diane Cherry Case. I would pick that up if I saw that on the shelf. I'm sure many of you out there would as well. Well, if it happens, I'm sure we'll hear about it on Diane's social media pages. I'm going to put the links to all those pages, as well as the Superman celebration. I'm going to put those in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net, as well as the show notes on the show's page for Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Again, super thanks to Diane for stopping by on the 40th anniversary of the landmark film, Superman the Movie. We are celebrating all year long. So glad she could stop by the lair to join us today. All right, kids, that is it for today. Just like Clark Kent outracing that train and the Smallville High kids in that super cool car, I am speeding along out of here for yet another week. But I will be flying back into the lair very soon, because next week on Comic Book Central, the world of the Flash comes alive each and every week on the CW. Next week, the man who made the ultimate sacrifice to save Central City in Season 1, he is going to be here to talk about it. He played Eddie Thawne on the show, and next week I'm going to be sitting down with actor Rick Cosnett to talk about all things Flash and whether or not he thinks he's going to be back to the show as a villain. I'm going to throw that question out there. My conversation with Rick Cosnett, that is what's headed your way next week. Until then, don't take any guff from bullies like Smallville High's Brad. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
Well, now, forgive me, Oscar, but I know a computer can do wonderful things, but it can't write music. Oh, but it can. It can.
Electronic music is very simple. It's using the free sounds and fluctuations of ions and electrons inside the electronic system.
Incredible brain on that girl.
I dig you, Oscar.